Good morning, church. Or should I say, good morning, family. What a wonderful opportunity it is to be able to be one of the chosen ones to be able to give the word today. This is actually biblical, by the way, and you can see it in nature. See, pastor is normally the one that leads the flock. And let's use the analogy of geese. The goose always fly in a V formation. Why is that? It's for aerodynamics. It's for the wind to actually make the ones behind them fly easier. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. But every now and then, the lead goose, he'll have an opportunity to lead. And he'll do his best. And he's steadily calling to the other geese. Encouragement from the front. And in the back, you can hear the geese calling to the front for encouragement. Now, every now and then, the lead goose needs to have a rest. So without even breaking stride, the lead goose would break out of formation, and he would lag back, and then there's another one that would take his place, but it's still in the V formation. So that's what's happening today, y'all. I'm stepping in for pastor for a needed rest for him, and we're still leading the same ship, if you know what I'm saying. Same ship, same gospel, same God, same direction, just different one leading today. And thank you for your faithfulness for showing up this morning. I've got only two scriptures that we're going to base this on today. And Shay said, what, two? No, actually, I've got more than that. But these two, to me, will cover all what is going to be spoken today by the Holy Spirit. Shay, would you mind putting the first one up? Is Psalms 36:5. What does it say? It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll also bring it to pass what you're trusting him with. And we'll let that sink in. And while we're doing it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for your word. Father, I just ask you to minister today. Father, I ask you to the word to just be like a healing balm of Gilead today, Father, and let it just give encouragement today. And we thank you for it. And this is your service, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So this is where we're going to begin what God is downloading into my spirit. And it sometimes comes in a flood. Sometimes it comes a trickle. But it was like a trickle for the last 2 weeks. And then this morning at 5 o'clock, 5:15, he woke me up and said, I want to download something for you. And it just came like a flood. So if I get fast, all you have to do is hold up your hand. Hey, let us breathe a little bit. Let me know. Because it's a lot to digest, but it's powerful. At least it was for me, because God always hits me with this first. He tests me first, and then he lets me speak. So it's nothing I hadn't already dealt with already. Well, the one word I want to deal with this morning is the word commitment. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do with commitment. A lot of us know what commitment is. We start out in our childhood knowing what commitment is. One of my greatest memories of what commitment was from my parents. Even at a small age, I would see them get up every day, prepare to go to work, because they wanted to provide for their family, which was me and my sister. I've seen him go sick. I've seen my father, which is bad to say. A lot of times my father would partake. And I've seen him wake up the next morning and go to work. He was committed. So I learned what commitment was. But with commitment, commitment's not always easy. See, today's time, we got the enemy saying, let's take the easy route. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do what the book says. Just go another direction, and I'll show you a better way. And we tend to sometimes veer off sometime and listen to the enemy, because the street over looks a little bit better than our street. The house over looks a little bit better than our house. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with being committed and wanting better things in life. Don't get me wrong for that. But the thing is what is the main thing that we should be committed to? It's not about the things. It's about not having more. In fact, the older I get, I find out more is less is more. And I guess there's a lot more of y'all guys are more mature than I am. And y'all understand that fact. We don't have to have what we thought we had to have when we're younger. Praise God. Because we find ourselves sometimes finding ourselves committed to the wrong things. We're made to be people that are apt to commitment. God has made us that way. We're made to work. We're made to commit to something. And sometimes the enemy leads us astray and we commit to the wrong things, the unholy things. We become servants to what we have committed ourselves to. And it could be the things that we were wanting. In the beginning, it sounded innocent. I wanted more. I wanted better. So that means in my family, it was work. So I worked more. And I thought that the more I worked, the more I would gain. And that is true. But at the end of the day, what have you gained? That commitment. And as I look in church, and I look at churches, not only this church, I look and see how empty it is. And spots and places. Then I'm wondering, what are they committed to? So this service here, this word I'm giving you today, if you had to put a title on it, is what are you committed to? What do you put your effort? What do you put your mind? What do you put your body and your soul into? Now, there's a lot of good things that we can. Work is good. Now, there's some people that says, no, you don't have to work to receive something. But God designed us to work. In the book of Genesis, in the day one, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't just say, sit on the front porch and watch. He gave them a job. He gave them a ministry. They worked. And isn't it funny? The more we work for something, we appreciate it more. My dad even instilled in that at a young age. He said, son, if it's worth having, it's worth working for. And I never figured out what that was because it looked like my dad did a lot of work and had little to show for it, I thought. But I didn't realize that sometimes it takes a lot of effort to receive a little. But God said, with little I can make more. And that's what happened at my house. We wasn't rich. But we learned the fundamentals of what the Word says. And one of them was commitment. My mom and dad, my mom's here this morning. And she won't be upset by saying this because she's a ministry unto herself. I saw my mom go through drug addiction. Over the counter, drug addiction. I saw her fight and battle through that. Not by her power, but by the power that she had committed into Christ. She should be dead right now. She's alive because of the commitment that she had in her Christ. CTC, committed to Christ. She did. Now she's a walking testimony. Now she's here at church. And she's over 80 years old. I'm not going to tell her actual age, but she's over 80 and doing very well. Praise God. I saw that at a young age. My father, I saw him battle alcoholism, other demons that he did, but he CTC'd. He just put the commitment to Christ, and Christ delivered him from alcoholism. But even through that, he was committed to his family that he worked all the way through. And at one time, I had no parents at one time. Both of them were getting themselves repaired and fixed, revitalized. See, the enemy wishes to take the family out. That's his number one priority because that's where commitment is first started, is in a family. When you first meet your significant other, and we're going to say a woman if you're a man, if you know what I'm saying. When you meet your significant other, you know it. Your spirit knows it. And the spirit inside of you knows it also. God has a person for everyone. We all are not meant to walk through this world alone. But marriage to me is one of the first things I come to my mind that says commitment. Marriage has so much against it, but yet we got so much for it. God instituted marriage. It's mentioned many times in the Bible. But when two people find each other and they form together, there's got to be a level of commitment before you get married, right? You just can't jump off and play house without having some kind of commitment first. You got to know who you're committing to. Commitment is very important. It's referred to over 146 times. And there's scriptures that go with that, but Shay, I didn't ask you to put all those down. But God thinks, apparently he must think it's very important to be committed. But isn't it funny how when we find something such as a marriage, a diet, a change of lifestyle for the better, isn't it always funny how when that happens, the enemy's right there to meet you? How many of y'all guys started on a diet? And you say, okay, I want to improve myself. I want to be more healthy. That's biblical. God says our temple needs to be good and cleansed and healthy. But the enemy's right there. When does he usually attack? I think he attacks right after he says, I'm going on a diet. Okay, I'm going to fix this. Everybody brings you cake the next day. Or something happens. Everything on TV is just whetting your appetite. And it's nothing good. Fried food. Chicken is mine. I love fried chicken. Fried chicken. Cake. And you said, well, I just said I was going to diet. So it shouldn't be a surprise. And as I just go further with this, not only do we start off with diets, it can start off simple like that. But once you come to a marriage, there's everything that the enemy throws at you to try to destroy your marriage. It's things on TV. It's things on the internet. It's all the things that are appealing to our eyes. And before long, you're committing to these things. And it happens like, oh, I didn't realize that this was hurting anybody but me. You're wrong. But in a bondage of a marriage, there's a commitment there. And without trust, there's no commitment. I'll get off this in a minute because I got a good rabbit trail that I'm going on. But we're going to have a great outcome. Commitment. Now you got people that can't even be married more than a year because they say it's too hard. Oh, I can't do this diet because it's too hard. I can't do this Christian walk because it's too hard. God never promised it to be easy. And right now, in this time and age that we're living in, this has been harder than ever before. That we've seen the likes that we've never seen before. COVID was just an attempt. And you're going to hear me say that several times in my sermon, attempt to deter. Ever in history, have you ever seen anything to make church shut down? It shut church down. And then we started trickling back in. It was by design. We have to have relationship. Relationship, commitment go together. Because once you have that, when you commit yourself to something, you are actually linked in and bond to that thing. Our mortgage, our home, we were committed to paying our mortgage off. We're committed to that. A lot of us do that. Sometimes the mortgage is bigger than what our eyes are bigger than what our paycheck can do. That's the way the enemy does. A lot of times we find ourselves so far out there before we know it, our commitment to it is almost like a slavery instead of a commitment. It's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. When you're out here by yourself, out of the flock, The enemy has time to do something. He has time to play with your mind. He has a time to get you in separation from the flock. He can get you off to the side. He can whisper into your ear and say things. And before long, you start believing in these things unless you come back to the flock. The enemy is not playing around here. He's not playing games. He's playing for keeps. My job today is not to talk about what the enemy's doing, but we need to be aware. But all of his plans are thwarted. He's a defeated foe. But he has still aggravating. Pastor always put it like this right here. God took away the teeth of Satan, but that means he can't try to gum me to death. So he's still trying. He's trying to break up marriage. Marriages are breaking up because of that, because of commitment. Because commitment comes with a price. Jesus died on the cross for free, for us, but he had to pay the price. With commitment, there's a price. You can right now, I guarantee you today, say, all right, I'm never going to miss another church service this year. I guarantee you next Sunday, somebody's going to say, let's go fishing, man. Let's go do something. Let's go do some of this. You know what? I'm tired. I worked hard this week. I really don't feel like going. It's coming. Let's be aware of it. It's coming. He wants you to keep you from the flock. And I've always seen the analogies of sheep and the shepherd, right? It's made many times in the Bible. It's referred to many times in the Bible. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to research that. I started to delve into what that means. The analogy is so uncanting. It's just like us in Christ. Everything to the T. So I started out wanting to look at to the personality of a sheep. We always think a sheep is big and fluffy and stupid. Actually not. A sheep is very intelligent. It's inquisitive and it's intelligent. But one of the things that God made a sheep to do, he makes the sheep desire relationship. Relationship with the shepherd, a relationship with each other. Apart from either other that sheep cannot function. Isn't that wild? I said, that is what are we doing today? One thing the sheep does have, that is a good thing and a bad thing. Sheep are very inquisitive. We're very curious. So we don't always stay where we need to stay, you know. We always seem to roam in places we don't need to roam because we're eating, munching away, because we got to have a nice fur coat and fluffy. We're eating away. And we're eating away, eating away. And we don't pay attention where we're eating. We just follow how good the grass looks. But see, the enemy's over there planting good grass over here. And, oh, this grass looks good to eat, so let's go follow this grass. So they follow this grass. And before long, they're looking around. They're saying, where'd everybody go? I'm over here by myself. Where'd everybody go? Where'd my shepherd go? Where's my buddies at? They're not to be found. Because the enemy knows how to scatter the sheep. But the only way he can keep the sheep scattered if the shepherd is not on watch. Okay? Our shepherd, our Heavenly Father, is always on watch. But see, the shepherd in the natural, if you ever noticed it and you look, the sheep are all grazing, right? They're all grazing on this big field. The shepherd gets in a high place so he can look at the sheep. Because you can't see all the sheep when you're down amongst the sheep. Because we're not talking about four or five sheep. We're talking about thousands of sheep. And when you're amongst the sheep, you can't see all the sheep. So he goes to a high place. And when he's at that high place, he's on continual watch. I thought, well, that sounds like our Lord. He's not sleeping. He's totally watching us. And he's committed to us. A shepherd is committed to his sheep. We love God because God first loved us. We have commitment to God because God first had commitment for us. So as that sheep wanders off, the shepherd's not asleep. He's looking and he sees where that sheep's going. Before long, he's not even in the high place anymore. He's down amongst the sheep. Let it be resonate in your spirit. He's not on a high place anymore. He's down amongst y'all. He's looking for you. Where's that 100 sheep at? My 99 are here. Where's my 100 one at? Because you know why? Because I have commitment. I have a commitment to that sheep. Let me go find my sheep. So as he's looking, he's got his staff. That staff means a whole lot. It's got a crook on it. Everybody sees it in Christmas plays, and they always wonder why they got the crook on it for. The crook is to retrieve the sheep. It takes that little hook, he puts it around him, not harmfully, and he gently nudges him back to the fold. Because you know why? Our shepherd wasn't asleep. He brought the sheep back to where he belongs. Now the sheep is happy. But the shepherd does not beat the sheep. Let that resonate in your spirit. Not all of us stay in the corral. But once we found, he didn't beat the sheep. But they gently nudged it, encouraged it to get back in the flock. You know why? Because of commitment. He was committed. And don't think that the sheep are not committed to the shepherd. Not only being intelligent, not only doing these other characteristics they have, a sheep knows its master. He knows his sheep. He knows his shepherd. Not only by the voice, which is always what you hear, the sheep shall hear my voice. They know their master's voice. You know why? Because they're committed to the shepherd. Let that resonate with you a minute. They are committed to the shepherd because they hear his voice. And even when they far out and they get out of their pasture and they're eating where they shouldn't eat and they so far out, they can't hear the shepherd's calling. Because he calls you once he sees you leaving the flock. But sometimes we're so inquisitive, we need to go anyway. So when we can't hear him, he goes and he retrieves us. Sometimes he not only calls us, but he comes and gets us. What an awesome, awesome shepherd that is. Another quality a shepherd has is that when he's above the flock watching, he's watching for any enemy that may come in. One of the worst enemies, the coyote or the wolf, is an enemy to the sheep. And he can see it coming from far off. Even though he's high up and the enemy comes in. Because sheep are sort of just, they're grazing. They're really not caring about the situation. They're grazing. They're having a good time. They don't see the enemy coming sometime. And the shepherd sees that from far off. So you're thinking, well, why don't he do something? He sees it from far off. By the time he comes from his high place and to get in between his sheep, he meets the foe before he gets to the sheep. He dismantles the enemy before he gets in our house. Commitment. If the shepherd didn't have that kind of commitment, then what kind of flock have you got? You don't have a flock because there's no commitment. So as God was downloading this word commitment, I was examining my life. What am I committed to? Am I committed to my family? Am I committed to work? Or are I committed to God? And you know what? It's good to do a survey every now and then. It's time to do an assessment. I don't care how far up the ladder you go. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. There's always room for improvement. And I did a test on myself. And you know what to me? I failed. Yeah, I'm committed to my job. Maybe I'm too much committed to my job. My wife often says, why don't you just put a cot down there and stay at the shop? I'm committed. And that's a good thing, but look, all things could be good, like Paul said, but not all things are what God wants. Cairo Tire is not my provision. Cairo Tire is an opportunity to bless God's people. But it's not my desire to spend all day down there, all night. So I have failed at times to be committed to my family. See, the enemy can even work in the good stuff sometime and make it look bad or even throw a train wreck in there sometimes. That's why you have to come back and say, what I'm committed to. The reason I don't have so many scriptures here is that if you commit your ways to God, that eliminates a lot of things. If God don't approve it, don't do it. The enemy's going to say do it, but don't do it. It may not be fun, but don't do it. You know, it's, God says don't do it, don't do it. If I'm going to commit myself to God, I have to trust Him. And that's just like a marriage. When you're in a marriage, you have to trust your spouse. And every day, you need to pray for your spouse. Every day, you need to pray for your church. And say, well, God heard you the first time. Why do you continue to pray? God heard you the first time. That is true. But when you continue to pray with commitment, that changes you. See, it goes from a commitment for self to a commitment for somebody else. Then your eyes start looking at different things. Then your mind starts having different thoughts. God said, if you'll give your thoughts to Him, He'll give you the thoughts that you need. And He does that. But I want to let you know that it didn't feel good to have that assessment done, and I'm failing. I'm an elder of the church. I give the word every now and then. How dare me have to check myself? I fail. I fail miserably because I don't always put God first. Y'all, please don't stone me. Y'all better than I am. Don't stone me. I'm telling you the truth. There's a lot of times that I come home, I am so dead tired, I put God on the back burner. Is that right? No. I'm just letting you know here in front of God, everybody, I apologize. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Because not only does the sheep get out of the corral a little bit, but let's not beat the sheep. We need to love the sheep. We need to love them into the kingdom. Now, do you condone their ways? No. There's always time to repent. There's always time to say, you know what, Lord, I messed up today. And we all do. I messed up today, but Lord, please help me. Let me commit my ways to You. And I know my path will be straight. And it's so easy to do. I call it cotton candy commitment. You ever heard of that? Everything in the world wants you to take a bite of it because it looks good. It's nice and fluffy and it's sweet. And you put all your effort and your time into trying to get this cotton candy. And you can work for years and you finally get to what you think was large in your life that you committed this time and effort to. And when you get to this cotton candy, it's this big thing. Some of them big as this table. You remember you get them at the fair? I don't like it anymore because I like it too much. But you take it and you put it in your mouth and it dissolves instantly. It's gone. It's not fulfilling. It don't satisfy for me any length of time. But that's the way the world's got. It's got this cotton candy stuck out there. It's nice, purple and pink. You know what it looks like? Oh, I got to have that. So I put my commitment into that. And once I get to that, what I thought I had myself committed to, it's empty. It's empty. It's not fulfilling. It didn't get what my inner soul needs. So that's why God says, commit to me. Commit to me. And back when I was a young Christian, I thought committing to God meant to become a monk and everything's like boring. Oh, I can't have fun being a Christian. There's no way. Was I so wrong? Was I so wrong? I have more fun now than I did when I was out there sinning in the world. Now, I didn't say that sinning in the world wasn't fun now. If it wasn't, none of us would do it. as the ones that's not here in church. Wait a minute, hold up, I'm sorry. What seems to be the problem? Our commitment level is not where it should be. Mine's not where it should be, but I'm working. I'm working on that progress. That progress is commit myself into something that's going to satisfy my inner soul, and that is Christ. Only He can fill that void. I went through a divorce, which I thought at that particular time, it was a separation from my wife. It was a complete divorce. It was one of the worst things I've ever did in my whole life. I went through it. I thought I'd never, ever find joy and peace again. But even in that brokenness, God brought, because I had something I needed to commit to. I didn't have a wife anymore to commit to. So He was my, unfortunately for us, it's like He's our last resort. There you go, got to commit to you. But what a reward it is committing to God. Changes everything. And you want to talk about commitment? We're talking about the one that's in the fire with us. I'm talking about the one that had the scars and the bruises, carrying His own burden, His own cross to Golgotha. You think that's commitment? That is commitment. Almost bleeding out before He gets to the cross where He hung for my filthiness and my sin. He died for that. I can get behind that. I can see that commitment. I commit myself. Can we do that? Can we literally take a beating like He did for somebody you don't even know? Let's say, for instance, could you die for that one that made you mad the other day? Could you die for that one that did you wrong? Could you die for somebody that owed you money and never paid you? Could you die for them? God did. Jesus died on that cross. He took all the abuse and the punishment that we should took it and bear upon our own bodies. So I look at that. He first committed Himself to me. He first committed Himself to y'all. That means I can't help but be committed to Him. I knew you, God said. I knew you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. How committed is that? He called you by name before your mom and dad even named you. You're His. It's up to you to stay there. That's where the work comes from. Being a Christian isn't always easy. It takes work. Salvation was free, but it takes work to do that commitment with Jesus, because we're always battling our flesh. Everything seems to look better out there than what we have. And I'm telling you what, the more I see it, there's nothing better out there than Christ. Nothing. Nothing's better than Christ. There's people right now, because of how the world's got, I'm talking about leadership in churches. I'm talking about even pastors are selling out because there seems like there's better. There's no better. This commitment thing is real. And we need to look back at the ones that came before us. The ones that built this church, they were committed to building a church. We need to honor that. My father built a business. Some of the reason I do what I do is to honor that commitment my father had. There's something else about the Father. A lot of time He'll give you a legacy. A father that can't give his legacy to his children is not a good father. You have to leave a legacy for your children. Whether it be, it don't have to be money, it can be spiritual. I want to continue my father's work. Physically, I am doing that. But on a spiritual note, I need to be finishing my Father's work here on earth. Our job is not finished. When we called to be a Christian, when we committed ourselves to know Christ, when we put on that battle armament, we made up in our mind right then that we're going to battle. We make a bad thing to do. When people first get converted, we don't always tell them what comes next. We don't always tell them, okay, you're going to have to be completely committed to Christ now, because the enemy's really ready for you now. I'm not afraid. You afraid? I'm not afraid. Because God said, don't be afraid. I've already defeated your foe. He's defeated. Would you like to be committed to something like that? I want to be committed to the winning team. It's not a game, but it is a thing that we're playing out in life. And I want to be on the winning team. Because just like when I used to go to these tournaments, I used to look across the net. And I had to be prepared before I went to these tournaments. I had to put forth the effort. I had to practice day in, day out. I would do it till my feet would bleed. I would have to be prepared. And as I'm looking through that net, I'm looking at giants. I kid you not. These guys are 6'5", 6'7", 6'8". I'm 5'8". And every now and then I try to stretch it to 5'8 and a half. But I just can't quite get there. But I'm looking through the net, and I'm knowing I'm prepared. I'm knowing I practiced. But how do I defeat that? See, that's how the enemy works. In life, we're going about doing God's work, and we're looking through the net, and we're seeing these large giants. But we know in our heart that we committed to do what is right. We got that commitment. We did it. You put in the time. You put in the prayer time. And you look at that enemy, and he's looking at you laughing and saying, and this has happened to me many a times. They'll look through that net, and they'll point their finger at me, little man. You're no good. This is volleyball, by the way, if you know what kind of sport it was. Little man, you can't do anything against me. And it would make me afraid. I'd be intimidated. That would make me train even harder, thinking, no, you're not going to get the best part of me. And that's the way God feels. He's in your corner cheering you on. He's saying, be committed to me. Guess what? You don't even have to even blow on those giants and they're going to fall down. So I know I put the time in. And when it came time for the big game, I was able to compete against guys that were three times my size. Not because of who I was, because I put in the effort. I committed myself to do that. So with that said, that's not spiritual. This is spiritual here. If you put your commitment in what this book says and what this manual says, you cannot fail. You cannot fail because this is nothing but a playbook that says how we win. And we get to skip every now and then. Isn't it fun every now and then skip ahead of the book and look in Revelation every now and then? We won. We're winning. But the enemy right now wants to say you're defeated. He wants you to look at your physical appearance where you look and say, well, there's only 35 people in church. Oh, what is that? Churches are not meeting anymore. We don't even have Wednesday night anymore. We don't have this. And he wants to look at, well, COVID is coming back. You know what? He wants you to be afraid. He's trying to weasel himself between you and the one you're committed to. Don't let him do it. Because you know why? All that is smoking guns because that is a lie. I don't care if we don't have 30 people here this morning. We still got God here too. Where God is, we don't need everybody, but guess what? It is nice to have everybody because we're relational. God made us relational. We can't go through life without being committed to something. So if you don't hear nothing else I say this morning, what are you committed to? What is going to bring you the best enjoyment? It's not the TV. It's not your favorite show. It's not going to be your next door neighbor. It's not going to be the one that pats you on the back and go, you're such a great, wonderful person. That's not it. The one you're committed to, Jesus Christ, that's the one we need to be committed to. That's the one that is the gate. That's the gate to where we need. It's the only one way to get to heaven. I don't care what you hear. There's more teachings out there that say there's more than one way to get to heaven. It's not. My King James says there's only one way. He is the gatekeeper. So I want to have my commitment to gatekeeper because he's the one that can open the door. Any other way into heaven that they say that you can go, over the fence, under the fence, around the gate, you know what they call that? They call that trespassing. You didn't go through the proper channels. In fact, even a sheep herder knows his sheep. So if that sheep gets in there and he's out of another flock, guess what he does? He removes it. He removes it. Our Father, what a commitment. One scripture. Is that the right one I'd give you? Put 37.5. I've been looking at, I wasn't looking at this thing the whole time. 37.5. I told Shay wrong. We all make mistakes. There you go. That's what we've been talking about. See there, we all make mistakes. That's what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, is committing our ways to God. If you commit your ways to God, all the rest of it will work itself out. I'll leave you this. One of the last things that a sheep shepherd does. He's watching his flock, and when it's time for sheep to give birth, he is watching over every birth in that flock. They're new, but he takes them into his flock because they were born of the ones that were already there. He's looking at them. And that also, that curve in his shaft was for the little sheep, because they would get separated from their mother because of all the chaos of giving birth, because there would be thousands giving birth at one time, but it only knows it's one mother. And if that shepherd was to go grab that sheep and get his sin on it and give it back to the mother, it will not suckle. So he couldn't touch the sheep, so he took his sickle and he brought it closer to the mother. But in order to do that, he had to know what mother he went to, right? What kind of commitment is that? He already knows where you belong. You may stray, but if you'll come back to him, he'll put you where you belong. A lot of times we look at church, well, I don't feel like I belong in this church. I feel like that there's too many hypocrites. I've heard that so many times. You know what? The best thing to say, where else better place than a hypocrite to be in church? You got to be in the element. We're relational. We got to be together. It takes us, it takes all of us, a village to raise one. It takes all of us together to work. That's the way God designed it. We're not off into ourselves. When I come to a church full of people and all everybody's in one accord, guess what? It's powerful. I don't care if it's two people, three people, but we all together, committed to the same one, it works. Even God, in the beginning, in Genesis, when they built the tower, they said, we're going to build a tower to heaven. And of course, it wasn't God's will. God stopped it. That's where he changed all the world's languages. But God said this. And by the way, he said, let us go see what they're doing. That lets you know that Jesus was already there. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit was already there. Let's go see what they're doing. They're doing something. We're doing the wrong thing, but we're building, trying to get to heaven to puff ourselves up. But even God said, it said, look at what my people are doing. They're of one accord. They're committed. There is nothing that should be shall withheld from them when they're in one accord. So he stopped it. So that means one thing. If they're going to do this and it not be something God wanted, how much more is it when we come together united that it would be successful in what God wants? It's our church people. We take each other for advantage. And I'm thankful for each one of you this morning. I love each one of you. I need to learn. It's not about me. It's about us. I'm committed to y'all guys. Y'all committed to me, whether you like it or not. I might not smell like you want me to smell, look like I want to look, but it don't matter. We all together. We are like the sheep. And when we see each other drifting, our job is to love them back in. It's time to nudge them a little bit. Sometimes it takes a rod sometimes. It took a rod with me. God had to throw a rod on top of me to get me back in church. But it didn't feel good either. So I like to be loved back in myself. We love each other back into church. And right now we look and we say, we low in numbers. But there's always a reproduction. The Holy Spirit reproduces. Whatever's inside of you, somebody else can get. If they're only willing to commit themselves. And it's not George Franklin's. That's not what gives us commitment. It's not about the money we got. It's not because as soon as I get rich, I'm going to feel comfortable. No. It's about in who we commit to. So do assessment if you want at yourself. Take time and do an assessment. What am I committed to? Is it that favorite TV show? Hey, I didn't say there's nothing wrong with TV shows. I like them. But when it comes time, you got your whole life planned around that TV show, there might be an issue. If you got your whole life planned around work, there might be an issue. When you got your whole life planned around something that's not of God, that is an issue. Commitment. It's hard sometimes. I see commitment. My wife, when we first got married, 2 weeks we were married, I fell sick with a disease. She did everything for me. I about even couldn't even hardly take a bath by myself. That's where I saw commitment. That's commitment. Did she sign up for that? No. She didn't sign up for me being sick when we first got married. And I literally should have been dead. I should be dead. But I'm not. But I saw her level of commitment. I saw my mom's level of commitment, my dad, when he would drink to a stupor and then beat her. But she wanted that marriage. She had a commitment. But first to Christ first. She says, God, I'm looking for your help. So that means I've got to do this, but it's got to be with your help. We just get to participate. My father, I saw him go through alcoholism, and now he's on the other side. Now, bless his heart, passed away. But when he passed away, he was sober. 25 years sober. Is that because of him? No. It's because of the Father. It's because of that Father. I look to my Father for strength, and we should look to our Father for strength. We can't do anything. I look at myself and I say, Father, I don't know what to say to your people. I can study all day long and put my effort into it, my twist on it, but it will mean nothing. I want what you want for your children. So if it doesn't make any sense what I'm saying, I apologize. But it should. It should resonate in your spirit. I had to look at myself. What am I committed to? What are you committed to? And when you start figuring out what you're committed to, your life will change because you begin to plan yourself around that commitment. It's called priorities. That priorities is if you want God first, your priorities change and everything falls in line. It's God, family, and then the rest. And in fact, in a family, it's God, your wife, then it's your family, and then it's the rest. If you'll do that and commit yourself to that, God will commit your ways. God will shall bring everything to pass according to his will. It shall be done. Church going to be full? Yes, it is. We're going to have salvations here? Yes, we are. Commitment. Commitment. I want Mike, when, once Mike goes on about his journey and further on in life, I want Mike to come back and say, you know what, I got to go back to church, but I got to figure out where to sit. Because the church is going to be full, but it's not going to be by us. It's going to be by our commitment to Christ. God will do what he said he's going to do, if only we'll commit to him. So in closing, I just implore you, look deeply into your heart. Look and see where your responsibilities and your priorities are. Because we can always use some straightening up, cleaning up, sweeping up around a back door. I'm not browbeating you and bruising you. I'm just saying it helped me. When you sweep around your back porch, you can see somebody else's back porch pretty much good at that point. Pray. I ask you to pray. Pray for our church. Pray for Pastor. Pray for Allie. It's not an easy job. God makes it when his power is it easy. But he still have to do the legwork. They still have to have commitment to come every day to church. But we don't look at what we don't have. We look at what we're going to have. Commitment and trust. I trust in Christ knowing that this church is full. Every church is full, not ours. I pray for other churches. Not only this church, I pray for every church. Be full. For God's glory, be full. So I love you. Y'all go in peace. And let's pray first. Let's pray first. I just feel like we need to seal this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father, that you fill in the gaps. That you're our strength. And thank you for being committed to us. First, even when we're cutting up and messing up, you are committed to us first. And Father, just give us the strength to see through your eyes. Let us feel through your hands. Let us see through your eyes. Let us feel your heart. And Father, that is what draws. That is what draws people, is that love that you have. Let us give that love also, Father. And Father, I thank you for the ones here. May they go in peace. May their home be made full of your glory and your presence. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, me and my wife would be up here to minister, and Mike and Judy. And if there's something you need to be